Welcome to the Max Living Podcast.
We're here to help you live your life to its fullest potential by taking control of your health, identifying the cause of common health challenges, and removing interference. Whether your health journey has had its ups and downs, you're looking for natural answers to common health questions, or you're an advocate for health freedom, come and join us.
Let's align your health.
Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Max Living Podcast. This is Dr. Ryan Berlin and Ashley Berlin. This week, we're talking about stress.
Woo-hoo-hoo. I'm ready for it. Let's talk about stress. We're coming into a season right now that's an interesting season. And I think that this time you hear a lot of verbiage where a lot of language of patients coming in, they're talking about, you know, coming up on the holidays and how they're starting to get
seasonal stress.
Yes.
Yeah. And holiday stress.
And right. And everybody has a different thing. Some people love their family. Some people can't stand their family. Some people, you know, lost a family member around the holidays. Some people gained family members around the holidays. And now it's, you know, like some people have too many people coming to their house and some people don't have any people coming to their house. And so, you know, we've talked about this. There's one wonderful episode that we did. If I could toot our own horn, toot, toot. If you go back to episode 49 in the podcast, it's how to manage stress. And we laid a great baseline in that episode for stress being perception, right? That the level of stress that you're encountering in your life is based on your own perception, and that someone might be stressed out by 37 people coming to their Thanksgiving dinner at their house, and they might feel stressed about it. And that might bring a level of elation and joy to somebody else that they've never felt in their life.
Yeah, that two people could view two different circumstances virtually the opposite.
Virtually the opposite.
I think we could use the example of, like, you know, kids playing and running around the house and maybe being crazy. And to a parent, you know, that might be kind of stressful, particularly if you have, you know, you're trying to get ready for the holidays or whatever.
Yes.
But to somebody who has never been able to have a child,
right,
and dearly wants one,
right,
that might be music to their ears.
Exactly.
And they look at it very differently. So, yeah. So, you know, I think we may touch on that a little bit today, but I think today we're talking more about, like, where, what are we grounded in?
Yes.
Where does our trust lie? And is it in truth? Is it rooted in truth? Is it rooted in principles, or is it rooted in our emotions?
Yes.
Because our emotions are here to help us navigate relationships and to connect and to, you know, to have a deeper connection and to have deeper connection with not just people, but circumstances and times in our life, et cetera. But our emotions can be very misleading sometimes. And, it can create a level of stress. Also, there's this idea that emotions have a frequency to them, and there are emotions that are more positive in their frequency and their overall effect, and there are emotions that are more negative. This is actually being studied all over the world, and there are published journal articles on vibrational frequency as it comes to emotions. So we're going to dive into that a little bit today. But I think one of the big things when it comes to stress is people just really having an understanding of how capable they are.
Right.
That we have not even come close to what human potential is. Like,
yes.
You think about back in the day, like the story of Roger Bannister. I always love that story where Roger Bannister was the guy who broke the 4-minute mile.
Right.
And before he broke the 4-minute mile, I mean, there were people who literally believed that man wasn't made. To be able to run
that fast.
4-minute mile. Yes. People literally thought, there were some people that thought, like, you'd fall apart, like you're made out of Legos if you tried to run faster.
Or you'd explode. Yeah,
spontaneously combust.
Yes.
You know,
Could you imagine that?
Shoes would melt off. And
can you imagine somebody really thought a human being would explode if they ran fast?
Like we were breaking a speed barrier or
something. Exactly.
And the only barrier that was there was a mental one.
Right.
That when Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile, there was a significant number of people who broke it faster than him that year.
Right.
And up until that point, no one could break it.
Right.
So it was this idea of perception of, what they thought was real.
But we all know Roger Bannister's name, and we don't know the rest of their names, even the people that were faster than him, because what his triumph was 10 times more amazing than anyone else's. And that was the mental breakthrough that he had.
Mental breakthrough.
Right.
And so I say that to say, I don't think we've even come close. In fact, I know for a fact, I'll share this with you. I know for a fact that we haven't even come close to human potential. And you know, bear with me through this because I'm going to explain something. Then I'm going to go into some principles. I learned some of these when we went to a Tony Robbins business mastery seminar.
Right.
And Tony talked about just how some of the things that we think and just how they affect things that we may perceive and stressors that come into our lives and how to overcome some of those. So number one, I just want to go through this. Number one, our body is extremely smart.
Right.
Like our body is unbelievably smart. And what I mean by that is our brain and nervous system. So as chiropractors, we geek out on this stuff, but we have a central processing unit in our body called our brain, right? And our brain is, you know, controls everything. It integrates everything that every experience you'll ever have in life, your emotions, your sensory perception, how you perceive the world, controlling all your body parts. Your central nervous system is central to every single function. Now, how smart is your brain? Here's how smart it is. It can calculate 1 billion calculations 1 billion times per second. We're talking a billion.
That feels like a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It feels like a lot.
So a billion calculations, a billion times per second, a billion. So that terminology, you know, you get like terabyte, you know, gigabyte, whatever, that's called an exaflop. I've never even heard of it, but that's a billion calculations per second. That's 30 times faster than the best computer that we have. The supercomputers on planet Earth right now, our brains are 30 times more powerful and 30 times faster than the supercomputers today. Why
I feel
do
like
we
that's
need
good news. I feel like it's good news. It feels like robots aren't going to take over Earth.
Not anytime soon. They're not smart enough yet.
Right.
Our brains are still unbelievable. They're better than AI. Your brain can actually pick up on other people's emotions. You ever had somebody like standing behind you and you don't know they're there, except for you do know they're there. You can feel it.
Right.
Like we haven't even gotten there with AI and intelligence yet. Why am I saying this? Because our body has thousands and thousands and thousands of functions that it needs to do. It's processing all these emotions. Our bodies are incredibly intelligent, but our brains are incredibly powerful. So you have all of this potential. It seems a little bit silly that school schedules and fall soccer and and something going on within family could stress you out or you feel overwhelmed when you have all of this
right
calculating potential in your brain.
Right. So like it's funny when you just break it down, like when you say it like that, it kind of makes you feel a little bit like, wait a second, because you're talking about your heart beats, like you are pumping gallons of blood miles per day, right? Like you have hormones that regulate hundreds of vital processes every single minute in your body. You blink 15 times a minute to wet your eye to keep it conditioned and protected.
And you never have to think about
those. Those are three of the thousands of functions that your body is doing right now, and you're not even thinking about it.
But here's the thing. If you had to run all of those processes, if we're like, all right, we're going to give you 100 years to prepare for it.
Right.
You're going to take over the body for one day.
Right.
And you have to run all of the thousands of processes that need to happen in your body just for one day. You could put together the best team of scientists in the entire world, the best engineers, the best whatever.
Right.
And you still couldn't pull it off.
And I know that because I wore two different colored socks today to work. They're not even the same ones. They're different. They're absolutely different. So I know for a fact
that you couldn't pull it off.
But
I bring all that up to say this. Your body is doing that every second, every minute of every day. And it's not stressed out because right. The potential that God has placed in you is so great. So if we're this amazing supercomputer, we're capable of doing all these things, then what is this whole idea of stress and where does it come from?
Yes.
I would argue that it comes from our anchoring to our emotions, and that stress also comes from unmet expectations, and we emotionally get attached to a lot of these unmet expectations.
Yes. And listen, I don't want to hang on to this like too hard, but hanging on, this is the concept that changed my life. Right. And this is the concept that ripped me out of the medical model and gave me the faith to step into this vitalistic model that God created us, that he knows this innate intelligence that God put inside of our body, right? That our body already has all of the knowledge to carry out all of the functions, that our body already has answers to problems that man hasn't even created yet.
Yep.
I mean, that's profound.
Yeah. You think about that, like our immune systems already knew to how to deal with this particular virus
right
before man ever created this particular virus.
Exactly.
Like, this virus didn't previously exist. It was created and our bodies already had an answer
right
for a problem that hadn't even existed yet.
Right. There's a level of faith and there's a level of trust and there's a level that you get to live your life when you know that is different and profound.
That's so good. So I think the big key lies in understanding that our bodies are infinitely capable. They're infinitely wise.
Right.
That we every year you hear about some new feat or some new thing or some new, you know, some new genius that's come up with some, you know, a way of understanding the universe through a new right formula or new whatever. And right the reality is that we haven't tapped into our potential, nor will we probably ever tap into our potential, because the way God created us is so unbelievable. And so the best thing we can do is learn to work with our bodies, not against them.
Yeah. And there's way more going on right in your body. Listen, there's way more going right in your body at this moment in time and every moment in time than there is going wrong. And the only time there's more going wrong in your body than going right is the moment that you die.
Yep.
Like, until then, there's more happening right than wrong.
So I think we have to trust our bodies, trust yes our innate intelligence, trust our brains, and understand that they're capable, and then not put expectations on them that don't match up with truth. And so, you know, when we get into, I remember going to a Tony Robbins seminar. Yep. So I'll give an example of this. How does this relate to stress? Here's how it relates to stress. One of the things that we truly believe is that if we just had fill in the blank, then we would just be fill in the blank. If I just yes had more time, I wouldn't be so stressed.
Right.
If I just had more money I wouldn't feel maybe stressed again. Or
right,
or
right
maybe if I just had more money, we could afford a vacation. And
yes
if I just had a vacation, I wouldn't feel so overwhelmed.
Exactly.
So all these things. So really what it boils down to is we really believe that these things outside of us will solve our problems. And one of the things that Tony Robbins taught me, not one-on-one, not personally, but one of the things that I learned by being in a room and Tony Robbins talking was, he said, listen, if you learn how to make more money, you had to solve certain problems
right
that created value that allowed you to make more money.
Right.
And by solving those problems, you might have earned more money, but what you really earned was the ability to solve that level of problem. And so when you learn how to solve a certain level of problem, what you just afforded yourself was you learned how to solve higher level problems than you previously did.
Right.
So guess what you're going to attract into your life?
Right.
The reward, which might be the money or the freedom or the time, but you're also going to attract into your life more problems to solve.
Right.
And when you, and higher level problems.
Right.
So now you didn't just, it's not like X, Y, and Z. If I just had more money, it would be this. No, in learning how to make more money, you actually attracted more stress or more problems into your life.
Right, right.
And the people who learn how to solve the highest level problems
right
just have, they create more value
right
because not everybody can solve higher level problems.
Right.
But they're attracting more higher level problems into their life. So this idea that one day something will solve all of your problems, whether it's money or a spouse or a child or a new house or whatever, it's just not true, because what happens is when you get that thing, you will always be attracting more of what it required to achieve that into your life. So now it becomes, are we looking at these challenges? Are we
right
looking at these things? What lens are we looking at them through?
Right.
Are we looking at them like they're obstacles? Are we looking at them like it's negative? Are we looking at them like it's something to overcome? Or are we looking at them like they're a blessing? Albert Einstein said there's two ways of viewing the world. One is which everything is a miracle, and the other one is which nothing is a miracle.
Yes.
And so I would challenge you that there's two ways of looking at stress in our lives, is that stress, or what we call stress, that every single one of those things are opportunities, and we love opportunities, even though they're challenging, because they present a chance to do something that's greater than what we're currently doing. And all of that comes with the reward, and that reward in life can be success. It can be freedom. It can be time. It can be relationships. It can be whatever. Like, relationships can be challenging.
Right.
We can view that as stressful, or we can view that as beautiful. And right. It's an opportunity to go deeper with someone and have better connection. And so I would challenge you, going back to the whole perception thing, of everything we look at.
Right.
We already possess the power to do it.
Absolutely.
Now, you may not possess the power to solve these high level problems,
right.
But you possess the power to solve the problem down here,
right.
That will then give you the opportunity to solve a problem here, which will give you an opportunity to solve a problem here. And the reality is that we can get here.
Right.
We possess that.
Right.
But now we just have to be willing to grind it out and go the distance. And it can be fun.
Right.
If you ask a billionaire about how they got to where they're at, it was challenges all the way.
Right.
Now, is it fun being a billionaire? I'm sure it's probably a lot of fun compared to being a hundredaire.
Right.
But they've done is learned how to deal with a different level of stress appropriately.
Absolutely.
They're dealing with things that would freak you and I out.
Absolutely.
And create a level of stress. So I know that, like, how applicable is this in our lives?
It's very applicable, I think. So here's one example I can give you right immediately off the bat. We had our first kid. We had one kid, and I was stressed out of my gourd.
Yeah.
Like, I owned a gym. I had a kid. I didn't know how to do it all at once. And the stuff that I thought was stressful then is laughable to me a little bit now. But it's cute. Like, but I was very, very, very stressed out then. And I remember, this is what I did. I remember I found an outlet to help me alleviate this stress. And it was all mindset, right? It was a shift in mindset. And I went on, and I didn't really watch TV at the time, but I went on television, and I saw the show 17 Kids and Counting.
Yeah.
And I turned on the show and I watched it for 20 minutes, and suddenly my life seemed like a cakewalk,
yeah.
Like a literal absolute cakewalk.
Well, it's a shift in perspective. And, you know, here's the thing. We had one kid and we're overwhelmed. And this lady who was 17, 18 kids and counting, whatever, however many she has now, she's got them like marching in line, like the Von Trapps.
I mean, literally, she's got assembly lines and she's got all sorts of stuff going on. And I was like literally watching the show. And I'm like, this
is like a whole operation.
It was a whole operation. And like, I was literally watching it. And I'm like, dude, I got one. I can do this. I can totally do this.
Yep.
You know, if she can do 800, I can do this one. And like, we're going to be fine. Like, we're going to make this out fine. And it was literally just a shift in mindset. And exactly what you're saying. We possess the power to do so much, and we're stressed out by so little.
Yep. And here's the reality is, she, you know, she was an octomom. She didn't start with 17 kids.
Right.
She started with one or two, right. Or whatever, you know, and then went from there. We have one mom in our practice right now. She has two children, or she had two pregnancies.
Right.
Two and then two. So she got a buy one, get one for her first one, and a buy one, get one on her second one. She's got four kids and two pregnancies.
So good.
So she never had one. She went two and then went four. And, you know, it's just crazy, but it's all relative for her.
It's totally relative.
And she was fully capable of doing it. And so here's the thing is that when we start talking about stress, if you're stressed out by the season, if you're stressed out by your kids' school schedules, if you're stressed out by your health right now, if you're stressed out, all these things, the number one thing to sit back and realize, the number one thing is you can do it.
Right.
God says he would never put you in a position where he hasn't provided a way.
Right.
People will say, well, God says he'll never give you more than you can handle. That's not what he said. He said he'll never give you more than you can handle without providing a way. And he's the way.
Right.
Right. And he, and as your creator,
right.
As who made your body,
right.
As you know, who made the world, like we possess the power to be able to overcome the things that are in front of us.
Right. Right.
Because we are powerful beyond measure.
Right.
And, you know, I just really think that the things that stress us out in life, it's so often a choice.
Yes.
It's so often a choice. We choose our schedules.
Right.
So you can say no. We've done this. We've had seasons of no.
Right.
We're just going to say no to everything, except for maybe the few things we've already agreed to say yes on.
Right. Like, that was this summer. This summer, we had a season of no. We said no to everything. We said no to, you wanted to go to dinner with us? Nope. Sorry. We're not doing anything. We did nothing. And it was great.
Yep.
It was great.
And you go through seasons, but we choose our schedules.
Right.
You're like, even if people are like, well, I have to get up and go to work here. You don't. You don't have to. You can quit that job.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it might be scary and whatever, but the reality is I had a patient who went through this. She's like, Dr. Ryan, they're going to make me take this shot. I'm going to lose my job. And I said, no, you don't have to lose your job. You can quit your job.
Right.
They don't have to, you're looking at it as they have the power to take away from you, but you can say, no, you don't get to keep me as an employee.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
I'm taking my skills and I'm going to go bring them to somebody who appreciates them. It's not they're taking your job. It's you're taking your skills and going elsewhere.
I'm taking this show on the road.
I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. Exactly. Right? Like I'm going to go play basketball at home with myself.
Exactly.
No, but here's the thing. So guess what she does? She does. She takes a stand.
Right.
She tells them I'm not doing X, Y, and Z. They let her go. She puts her resume out there. She finds another job. She gets a pay raise.
Oh, wow.
She loves her new job more.
That's amazing.
She was in my office a couple weeks ago and she's like, Dr. Ryan, you have no idea. Like this was such a blessing. But the blessing came on the heels of what seemed like stress.
Yes.
God was trying to move her in a direction of blessing her in a way. And if she just looked at it, like a lot of people did, listen, and you know, I'm not faulting you. I get how we give into this, but we rather than putting our faith in truth, which is that you are capable, that you were created powerful, that God has a plan for you,
yes,
and that what the enemy or what appears to look like stress or evil or whatever you want to call it,
right,
that this thing isn't stressful, it isn't evil, it's an opportunity.
Right.
And that if you truly believe that, if you truly were rooted in that rather than your emotions,
right,
then you would move in the direction of this. Like she did, she quit her job. She went out and she goes, this new job is so much better. I'm making so much more money, blah, blah, blah. I said, and you work for someone who values your autonomy and your medical decision.
Yep.
You work for someone who believes that you get to choose.
Absolutely.
Versus staying in a job working for someone who thinks they get to choose for you.
Right. And who knows what's going to happen in a year from now or 2 years from now or 5 years from now when they make up another thing and there's a whole nother shish kebab going on and you gotta do this and they're going to make you dance around and jump around and, you know, but you know that you're in a relationship and a working relationship with someone who values that medical autonomy. That's priceless.
Yep.
And that is listen, how you handle stress is a barometer of where you're at in your mindset as a whole.
Absolutely.
Right. That is showing you. And so we talk about this and, you know, we've talked about it in terms of success and it could be financial, it could be family, it could be, you know, right now I'm measuring success because what I'm cultivating right now are our kids. And, you know, like we moved to a homeschooling schedule this year. So I'm working cultivating that. And so my barometers of success aren't necessarily financial all the time, right? It's sowing these seeds of success into our kids and how they're being raised. Right.
Yep.
And that's significantly important to me. And there's no, you couldn't pay me a trillion, bajillion, what was that? A billion billion an exaflop. Exactly. You couldn't pay me that, you know, to trade in for how I'm raising my kids right now. And so that's the barometer of success for me. So all barometers of success are different, but there are times when I have to take a step back and I have to look at it and I have to say, is this actually stressful?
Yeah.
Is this really stressful?
Yeah.
Or am I making more of it? Or am I used to living in a thermostatic range of stress? And so anytime I start to feel relaxed, I like to bring myself back to that level because that's where I feel comfortable, right? And really recognizing that and saying, no, this isn't stressful.
Well, again, it goes to that fixed mindset versus growth mindset, right? So the growth mindset says, I'm capable. I can do it.
Right.
All I need to do is acquire the skills or all I need to do is acquire more knowledge. But growth means I am able to do this thing,
right,
where fixed is like, nope, I've only been given a limited set of skills.
Right.
I can't change. Like, first of all, we all know that not to be true.
Right.
How do I know that? Because you're not still crawling.
Right.
Like you learn to walk.
Right.
It's not easy.
Right.
Right. It's not easy as a child learning how to walk. How about this? There are some people who know how to walk on their hands better than you and I can walk on our feet.
I mean, that's the truth.
And you could acquire that skill. Would it be easy? Absolutely
not.
It wouldn't be easy, but you can do it.
Right.
And so here's the reality is the potential we have is so much less than what we use. And we get in this place where sometimes we are believing things that aren't true because we're relying on our emotions. We're like, this is hard. I can't do it.
Right.
I was watching my kids learn how to water ski a few weeks ago. We were at a friend's house in South Carolina, and we're out on their lake, and their kids all knew how to water ski. And we put my kids out in the water, and our kids, you and I.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm telling you the story like you weren't there.
I took the video.
Yeah. And I even have tears in my eyes now just thinking about this because two of our kids, the youngest two, got up real quick.
Right.
They have low center of gravity. I think it was a little easier, whatever.
Yeah.
But our oldest got out there, and he's tall.
Yeah.
And so a little harder to get up, and he was being challenged by it. And he wanted to give up because his emotions
Yes.
We're starting to get the best of them. And his emotions were telling him, because it was stressful,
right,
I can't do this.
Right.
And we just said, buddy, we'll stay out here all day. You can do it.
Right.
You just don't have the skill set yet.
Right.
So you're out here
practicing,
learning how to do it.
Yep.
And pretty soon you're going to get pulled up and you're going to feel what it feels like to be up there. And you're going to be like, oh, that's it. And you're going to have acquired the skill set. And then you're going to be happy you stayed out there.
Right.
And sure enough, it wasn't two more times. He gets up and the first thing he does goes from his face being all upset to like big old smile on his face. And he acquired that skill set. So what do we trust more? Do we trust our emotions more, or do we trust our beliefs more? And absolutely, what is your belief rooted in? Is your belief rooted in this idea that your body is healthy, that your body is smart, that innate intelligence is infinite, that God has given you a brain that is the most powerful thing on the face of the planet, that you can always acquire more skills, that you can always, you know, face more challenges, that you can always do better? Is that what your belief system is?
Right.
Or right, is your belief system, I don't possess the skills, that you're like this finite thing,
right,
that God, you know, molded you, and like there's no growth possible there. And the reality is, we all know that not to be true, but so often we give our thoughts and our beliefs and our energy and our emotions into this other idea.
Right, right.
And sometimes like we have one child that we frequently say to him, you control your emotions don't control you.
Absolutely.
But is that a belief system? Like we're saying that to him because we want him to grow up,
right,
having that as a belief system.
And understanding that.
Because there's some of you out there, adults running around, you think that your emotions control you.
Absolutely. And listen, being out on that boat with our oldest, it was a sacrifice as a parent that I was willing to make to be out there all day long until he stood up on those water skis.
Just soaking up sunshine.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm kidding. But you're right. Exactly. Like, is this the tail that leads the dog, or is this the, you know, like, are you actually in control here? And you are in control of your emotions. And there's sometimes there can be this sneaky lie that sneaks into you that says, Joe Schmo down the street can walk on his hands, and I'm just not cut out for that. And you know, Susie Q, she is a great athlete, and I'm just not, and my body's not capable of that. Or you're looking at somebody who is achieving a level of success at work. Maybe public speaking isn't your thing, and they can just give a flawless presentation, and you're like, I could never speak like that, you know, to a group, to an auditorium of people. Whatever lie that you're telling yourself, whatever thing that you're letting sneak into your subconscious, and you're saying to yourself, here's the thing, here's the level of perspective that you can give yourself. Your body is already doing it. You are already capable. You already have an exaflop system in your brain that is working on your behalf. Literally, the processes, the hormones, the blood pumping, the functions, the eyes blinking, yeah, the mouth watering, ooh, the stomach that's changing every second.
So
you are already doing it. Yeah. You're already doing it. You're already a champion. You've already survived. You've already done it. Don't let your mind, yep, be the thing that gets in the way of you achieving the success that God put inside of you.
So I want to throw out a challenge here at the end, which is, what are you anchored to? Because BJ Palmer, the founder of chiropractic, developer of chiropractic, said, who can anchor to an unanchored mind? What does that mean? It means how are you possibly going to think in this way if your belief system isn't of this nature? So here's the challenge. Establish your thoughts.
Right.
Spend time, whether it's in the Bible, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in meditation, spend some time. It's called metacognition, right, metathinking. Think about what you think about.
Right.
What do I believe?
Right.
Establish your thoughts. Sit down and go, okay, what do I believe? What do I believe about marriage?
Right.
What do I believe about success? What do I believe about challenges?
Right.
Are challenges opportunities, and I love opportunities? Or when I hear challenge, do I think, oh no, like, you know,
like I need a nap.
Yeah, whatever.
Right.
So here's this old saying, and I want you to, this is a writer downer. If you're listening right now, this is a great time to pause, grab a pen, you know, whatever, or come back to this, but it's, watch your thoughts for they become your words. And that's biblical. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Watch your words, because they become your actions. Watch your actions, because they become your habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. And watch your character, because it becomes your destiny.
Right.
So if we watch our thoughts, we start speaking like we think. We start doing what we say.
Right.
We start, you know, creating habits around what we do.
Right.
Those habits become our character. Like, are you a fit person? Is that part of your character?
Right.
Because you've developed the habit of working out.
Right.
Are you a healthy person because you've developed the habit of getting adjusted and eating well? And then ultimately what happens is your legacy, your destiny is just simply what your characters become from your habits. And it always goes back to your thoughts, and your thoughts are always more powerful than any circumstance you're up against.
So good.
It's the way you're created. It's been another great episode. We can't wait to see you guys next week. Another episode of the Max Living Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Max Living Podcast. To find a doctor near you, head to maxliving.com/locations.